Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here, Charlie Borges on the other side of the glass. Let's talk a little hockey. Long overdue getting into this discussion. We'll go out to the fan hotline and bring in Jesse Marshall from The Athletic. Jesse, what's going on, man? How are you?
Just a boring night in the NHL, Jason. Not much going on, you know. It's a pretty quiet evening.
I missed it. What happened? I'm kidding.
I think we're officially now in trade deadline season, Jason, right? This is officially, we can strike the bottle of champagne off the boat.
Holy crap. Something. Yeah. I don't know if this is going to influence Kyle Dubas to do anything one way or the other, but just from the sheer spectacle of it, it's a pretty big trade.
You don't get player for player trades like this a lot anymore,
right?
Where you have like multiple big time parts. I know Marty Nakish isn't necessarily a household name in the NHL, but playing the best hockey of his career and was a big part of what made Carolina successful this season. So you have to give to get. Mikko Rantanen's probably on another level than him, a half tier up maybe from what they had in Marty. They have to give up Kotkaniemi too, but what a sign from Eric Tulsky, right? I mean, Carolina's been that good team other teams have kind of indicated can be bullied around when the going gets tough, and you really can't bully around Mikko Rantanen. So in terms of addressing a need, I don't know that there's a way that they could have really done better than that.
Yeah, and I guess the implication, at least here, the Hurricanes just got a lot better. Not that anybody, you know, really was hoping for that to happen, but it's reality, and teams are going to load up, and I can't imagine they're going to be alone in the Metro as far as teams acquiring assets. Let's look at the other side of that, though, Jesse, and I want to ask you about the Penguins and talk a little bit about last night and the situation they find themselves in, whatever. And I know there are hockey reasons that are above my pay grade and above my knowledge level for why the Penguins can handle the Kings the way they did and then struggle the way they did against the Ducks. What do you see? What are the differences in those two games? How can they look so darn good one night and then so not the next?
This is going to sound bad, but I mean it. And I think it's, you look at where they're at in the standings, right? I think the Kings took a night off, man. I really do. I think the Kings looked at the Penguins as a wounded duck coming into the game, and they did not get the Kings' best. Hmm. Now, I don't want to diminish the performance that the Penguins had because they knew their opponent that night. They brought it. Their forecheck was on point. They did not give the Kings any room. Didn't give them opportunity to claw back into the game. But you didn't get that from Anaheim because there's a lot of youth on that Ducks team that's playing for contracts, right? Like, that Ducks team is a team of pride right now. They're in it to try to make an impression on whatever is going to be left of that team next season. And those players are playing for deals. And they didn't take the night off, right? For all their warts, Jason, they're a really good skating team, right? You can't take that away from them. Up and down that lineup, there are really good young skaters. And they dog-walked the Penguins. That's just it. I mean, they just took them for a spin. The Penguins didn't have the juice that night. They didn't have the legs to keep up. And, you know, given the system they play and how freewheeling they can be, when you don't have the legs to get back and you don't have that juice, a good young team like that's going to take you to the cleaners. So that's it. I think you look at some of these points they've stolen over the course of the last 3 weeks where people have pointed to those stolen points and said, wow, that could be a turning point. And then the very next night they drop one to someone that you would conceivably line them up as a favorite in that game.
Yep.
I think that's just who the perception of who they are around the team, around the league now is, look, it's still Crosby, it's still Malkin. You still have to get up to play those guys, but they're second to last in the division, right? And you're doing your prep work about the Penguins. You're not shaking in your boots about any real asset of their game right now. So I think that they've caught teams with their pants down a little bit, but they're getting some medicine fed to them from some of these really young clubs that are mobile and can skate. Their lineups may be a mess and they may not be good hockey teams, but they've got the work ethic. And I think that's where the Penguins really still struggle today, Jason, is in the game of keeping up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could make up for a lot of stuff previously, maybe these guys in their younger years, more speed, and if they didn't have it at some point in the game, they could kind of turn it on, and they're just that speed isn't available anymore. It is crazy to watch, and it's crazy to hear you talk about, and you're absolutely right, I'm not disagreeing with you, that like the Penguins used to be a team that everybody circled on their calendar, would like get up to play these guys, and now we're hearing about teams taking a night off or understandable things, right? Like the Penguins aren't intimidating anybody right now, and it's maddening to me as somebody who did cover those Cup years pretty closely why there's not more consistency in their game. Like, I do feel like that's an area where you can control some of that. A lot of it, I think, came down to goaltending as well, which is where I want to transition this, Jesse. And we're talking with Jesse Marshall, The Athletic. What the heck can they do with Tristan Jarry? How do you look at that situation? Like, what's the most logical path forward with him?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't think anybody does.
We're getting into buyout territory now, which is an oxymoron to bring up because this is something Kyle Dubas has been vehemently against, right? Is not wasting money on perceived waste of money on buyouts. You give him the Jack Campbell treatment, maybe he stays down there. That's a lot of cap to spend in the American Hockey League. You don't solve your problem. The issue is that right now there's no team in the National Hockey League in crisis. That's what this would take, in my opinion, right? You're going to have to eat a little salary probably either way. You might have to throw in a sweetener to the deal, but you're looking for a team in crisis that has no other choice, and that situation just doesn't exist in the NHL right now. There is no team that is fervently looking for a goaltender that's within the cusp of the playoffs and needs that to get over the hump. You could potentially package Tristan Jarry as such to one of those teams if they existed. So the solution this year, I don't think that there probably is one. I don't think we're going to see him again this season. I mean, he would have to go on some kind of Herculean run down there and really turn heads. I mean, his last stint was good, but I don't think it was world-changing. And look, they've got a couple really good young goalies, and this is an opportunity to get them in there and see what you have. Unfortunately, one of them, Philip Larson, is hurt right now and got hurt the very night Jarry got demoted, which is a rich irony if there ever were Lennis Morissette would put that in the song. But Sergei Mereshov gets the call right now. He moves up to the AHL, and this is a big moment for him in his career. I mean, he's dominated, absolutely dominated the ECHL level. Like, frankly, I don't know that I could tell you the last time I've seen a goaltender in the Penguin system dominate the ECHL like that. But these are guys that are, the Blomqvists, the Mereshovs, the Larsons, they're not what I guys I would consider ready to immediately inherit a starter's job in this team, right? Like, that you almost get the sense that there has to be someone there sharing that load with them. So, look, the future is indeed bright. That's the good news. The bad news is that you have no solution to the Tristan Jarry situation, and that future is still not helping you in the immediate present.
Yeah. Chatting with Jesse Marshall of The Athletic. You can follow Jesse on X at JMARSHFOF. Outside of the goaltenders, Jesse, I've been impressed with Erik Karlsson recently. I feel like, it was not a great start to the season for him. He's been a lot better recently. One, what do you think is leading to this? Or if you disagree with me, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And two, like, does it make you think any differently about Karlsson at the trade deadline? Like, I don't know, a month or two ago, it's probably not a guy you would think about trading. Do you think they could maybe pivot and send him somewhere and get out from under that money?
Yeah, I still think that's a possibility, especially for some of these teams that are in the mix and looking for that extra boost to put them over the hump. I mean, we're kind of seeing an arms race now develop right before our eyes tonight.
Quite literally in real time. Yes.
Right. So I think, yeah, I do agree with you. I would love to know what that mystery ailment was that kept him out of camp, because it clearly affected him at the beginning of the season. I just think that reaction time was slow. His step was slow. That seemed to come back with time. And, you know, this sounds nonsensical to say about Erik Karlsson, Jason, but, I keep landing here. Less is more with him.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's not nonsensical. That's perfectly sensible.
Yeah. And it's the opposite of the way things worked in San Jose, but the environment in San Jose was he was the guy, the only guy on that team that had any semblance of an ability to score points. So that's never going to happen. There's only one puck, and you've got generational talents up and down the lineup. And guys that are you're going to need to share with, defensively, even in Chris Letang. So that environment just never existed here. And I think that sense of needing to create carried over from San Jose into Pittsburgh, and ultimately was probably a little too detrimental in how run and gun the Penguins are. You know, I mean, that's what's really been the problem for them, Jason, up and down the course of the last calendar year has been that overzealousness, right? And that lack of situational awareness. You're protecting a lead late. You're up a goal. There's no need to pinch in those situations, right? Like, you don't need to take advantage there and extend the lead, just live to fight another day. And I think when the offense comes to him organically, right, and he has just these normal breaks, I mean, he's still in the top, well into the top third in the NHL in all of the micro statistics about zone entries and carrying the puck across the blue line. These are still elite numbers. So, I mean, teams are going to look at that and know what they're getting here. I think it just, between the injury this season, and some of the defensive woes the team was having as a whole, it was kind of ugly as we started, but he's reascended back into his usual spot in the 99th percentile of offensive statistics for defensemen. So the apple hasn't fallen far from where it usually lands.
Yeah. And I realize there's going to be some plays where he just leaves you scratching your head. You know, you deal with them. They're never going to completely go away. It's been nice to see those lessen a little bit. I mean, they still occur. It's just not, five or six a game, might be one or two a game. So anyway, it's nice to see that turning the corner a little bit. Jesse?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hammer the trade deadline thing just a little bit. I mean, what would your blueprint look like at this point? I go back and forth on Rickard Rakell. I don't see how they would keep Marcus Pettersson. Karlsson, if there was an offer for it, I would do it. I don't know what else they could reliably do, but what does your blueprint look like for how to handle the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think it's try to shed as much as you can and accrue as many picks and young quad A style players as you can get. Look, the Pettersson, you know, has been so good defensively for this group, but he's 28 years old, is going to command term and money. That's not the kind of contract you sign in this situation, right? Like the direction that you're heading is that's the antithesis of the way you're going. Look, I've made no secret about this, Jason. If you followed me on Twitter at any point in the last 5 years, you know I'm a big fan of Nils Höglander in Vancouver. That's one of my favorite young players in the league. Scored over 20 goals for them at even strength last year, but he has not jived with Rick Tocchet, just flat out. It hasn't worked. There's a little bit of Phil Kessel in him, I think. And I think he's probably evoking some nightmarish demons of Tocchet in his time at Pittsburgh having to deal with all that. But he's healthy scratch last night. You know, low point total this year. Not put it in the back of the net a lot. Hasn't had a lot of opportunity. Vancouver needs a guy like a Pettersson. Bad. I think they've sniffed around it already. I think there's an opportunity there to get not quite a Chris Tanev-like package, but something similar to that in like a Höglander and maybe a second, third round pick. That's good for a guy that's a rental and is primarily a defensive defenseman. Other names I would toss, Anthony Beauvillier is having a really good year statistically. And I think has reestablished his identity in this league as he kind of had lost that over the course of the last 2 years. And I think there's a lot of teams that would be looking for a player of that oak in their bottom six. I had a lot of hope, Jason, for the Michael Bunting of Evgeny Malkin partnership, and it has not been as fruitful as I had hoped for. And I, you know, just looking at sort of the transient nature of Bunting's recent career, I would put his name out there too as, you know, somebody that maybe needs that top six help. Again, not a guy that's going to net you a king's ransom, but anywhere you can swoop in and pick up a second, third round pick or a fourth round pick somewhere, I don't think that's an opportunity you can bypass. This is a decent draft, not great. It doesn't have to be a pick from this year. I think that the way that this boat is pivoting is you're not going to do this overnight, right? This isn't going to be a simple fix, so to speak. So I think any picks on the table, and I would expect, you know, any number of those. For even a guy like a Kevin Hayes, Jason, right? I mean, he's having a pretty decent year himself as well. Veteran presence, teams might want to lean on that. He's been there and done that and all the good stuff that comes with the accolades. So I would include that name as well. But, I think, you know, outside of the usuals, I think every name is, you know, probably at least up for conversation.
Last question, last serious question for Jesse Marshall of The Athletic. You working on anything, any video breakdowns, anything that is piquing your interest right now that you might be looking deeper at?
Yeah, here's the thing. I've talked about Philip Larson a lot because I feel like he's the goaltender that's the least discussed in this big mess that the Penguins have. And I've got a real big mixtape for him coming that kind of hopefully introduces people to what he's all about. And, I keep going back to the Matt Murray comparison, Jason, but like, I can't give you one that's better than that. He's just a big guy who controls the net and doesn't really give you any emotion or reaction, or the game gets out of control and the chaos ensues. And that big body's there statistically or positionally where it needs to be. And athletically doing what it needs to do to keep the puck out of the net. So it's hard to make the argument, honest to goodness, against him being the best goalie in the AHL this season. He leads the league in shutouts, top 10 in save percentage and goals against. So a little bit of video coming out on him that hopefully, if you haven't seen him play, you get a chance to check him out and see what he's all about.
Again, Jesse Marshall from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JMARSHFOF. And Jesse, my most serious and important question, what's the last Grateful Dead show you listened to?
MetLife Stadium 2022 Dead & Company tour.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, they have a lot of them on Spotify now. So I've identified like five favorites from like the 2021 to 2023 era, and they're just getting heavy play right now. So,
dude, what Dead & Company has become is magical.
Bertha stretch, Jason. So, you know, I love my Bertha. So, you know, I get a lot of that in there.
My favorite Bertha is 7489. From Rich Stadium. You know the one I'm talking about, Orchard Park, Buffalo?
I don't, but I'm going to look it up after we're done here.
Dude, I'm telling you, you'll text me or DM me or something. You'll be jamming. So, all right, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Jesse Marshall, the man to talk hockey, knows so much, and he's a deadhead.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.